Joan Rivers joins us now from New York. She has a new book out with the title So Sensational, Only She Can Say It.
Men are stupid and they like big boobs. A woman's guide to beauty through plastic surgery.
Joan Rivers, of course, is the acclaimed comedian, raconteur, and talk show host. Thanks so much for being with us.
I'm thrilled. I'm a great listener to this show.
A lot of people are going to be delighted about the fact that we're interviewing you, but not comfortable with doing a book about plastic surgery.
Well, that's why I did the book, because people will tell you now how much money they lost with Bernie, how they're destitute because of Enron, and you'll say, what about plastic surgery? You haven't done anything. Oh, I can't discuss that. So I said it's time to discuss it.
Now, I want something understood. You were quite forthright in telling people in this book that if they decide to have plastic surgery done, remember, it's surgery. A doctor should be involved.
Totally. Well, first of all, the book is very funny. I did it as if I were talking to a friend. Mm-hmm. But I also did a year and a half's worth of research on it. And everything I found has gone in the book and is terribly serious when you get to those points. Death is absolutely a part of saying, yes, I'm going to get my boobs done.
Well, but there are a lot of people who would decide that that's not worth the risk.
Fine. Good luck to them. I hope they live a nice, long, lonely life with no companions and no friends and saggy boobs that they step on.
Oh, my gosh.
But, Scott, we live in a society where looks count. It's so silly
I would never argue that looks don't count.
Go and look at the pictures on the covers of magazines. They are beautiful women.
I only read Foreign Affairs. They don't have pictures.
Oh, well, then you're missing
just that
a
gray
lot.
Cover, you know, and The Economist. You describe in this book a so-called standard facelift. And I got to tell you, it's difficult to read.
I'm a doctor's daughter. I'm a sister-in-law of another doctor and the aunt of another doctor. So I've been brought up in medical surroundings. Mm-hmm. It's a procedure, and you should know what's going on, and you should take it very seriously before you make your decision. And yes, it is hard to read. It was hard to research.
I'm going to read some of your own words.
Oh, my.
You write in this book, your surgeon will detach or elevate the skin from
yes.
your face, starting from the temple.
I'm getting nauseous.
Exactly. Then you say rolling forward in front of the...
Yes, I know.
Oh, my word. It's one thing to accept those risks if it's, let's say, a heart stent.
I love you very much, Scott, but you're a man and I'm a woman. Since I stopped having my period, no man has come over to me and said, hello, baby, you're hot. It's life. You want to look young and you want to look sexy. It's about yeah. yourself, truly. If a woman is, or a man, a lot of men are getting it done now. If you're unhappy yes. with what you look like and it gives you confidence.
You're pretty blunt in this book about people who have had something done.
Yes.
And don't look their best.
Again, know who your doctor is, see other things that he's done, and always say, give me a little less. I mean, Robert Redford, terrifying. Terrifying. He looks like he went through a wind tunnel. There are some people you do not recognize. You say, who the hell is that? He's a lovely man, and he's a very dedicated man to what he does. He has to wear a name tag now in movies. He comes down the red carpet, and I go, who's that? They say, it's Robert Redford. Oh, my gosh.
May I ask, is there a procedure? Plastic surgery procedure that yeah. you just wouldn't have done?
That's a wonderful question. Not that I'm surprised, because your questions are always very good. But yes, the G-spot amplification. It's a real... You see?
Pardon me.
This is the last...
I have to kickstart my heart again. Yeah.
I know. They are now doing that it's starting, of course, in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wait on that for several reasons. One, there's no one around that cares. But two, I find that it's not insane, because if it makes somebody's life happier, if it doesn't bother anybody else and you want to have it done, do it. Yeah. I just think that would be so painful.
Can I ask you about a totally unrelated subject?
Of course, of course.
I was doing some research, and I finally saw this clip from the British talk show. Is it called Loose Women?
Yes. Yes.
Where you...
I was thrown off.
Is that Is that part of your life that you enjoyed doing, that kind of meeting and greeting the celebrities on the red carpet?
When they're nice.
Yeah.
You get someone like Russell Crowe, and you want to say to the camera, he is a piece of get ready to bleep this. And then I let go with what I thought of. He's a blah, 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 blah. Hmm. And then she said to me, which is very English, we don't bleep.
Well, I was amazed that you were thrown off the show because everybody there was laughing.
I was very upset for about 5 minutes. I thought it was ridiculous.
Who makes you laugh? What makes you laugh these days?
Oh, Bernie Madoff, of course. It's so, in between being hilariously funny, it's so, it's just ruining so many lives. And that. So the economy, I'm doing a lot in the economy now. Mm-hmm. Obama, you cannot touch yet because we all have such high hopes for him. The Bushes, you leave alone because it's so sad in a way. You know, it's such a sad ending to what could have been. If anybody is present, they should be leaving a great legacy. So what makes me laugh is, of course, the absurd, the horror. Mm-hmm. Anything that upsets me. I talk about how I hate children because I really love them. You know, so I reverse a lot of stuff.
You hate children? You love your daughter.
I adore my daughter, but it kind of hurt when she started to cry when she found out she wasn't adopted. That can break a mother's heart. My grandson has no respect for me. He calls me Nana New Face. You know, you don't forget these things, Scott. You move forward, but you don't forget. I do a lot of jokes on terrorists. I do a lot of jokes on 9/11 still in my act. Anything that you can't grasp, if you bring it down to where you can laugh at it, it becomes manageable and you become in charge of it.
You're still working a lot.
More than ever. I've just done Celebrity Apprentice. I have a new show on TV Land called How'd You Get So Rich, which starts in March. I have a second show that's on for another year on IFC, Independent Film Channel. I do my concerts without a stop. I have the two books. I have a second book called Murder at the Academy Awards.
This is a novel.
I love to work. That's a novel. How about I work like a dog on Men Are Stupid and They Like Big Boobs, and I'm so proud of it, and it's got so much good information, and it's funny in it. Murder at the Academy Awards. I've always loved mysteries. I knocked it off in 3 months. You know how funny life is insane.
You work so much. I'd like to think you'd be doing that regardless of whether or not you'd had all these surgeries over the years.
Oh, if they would let me. I don't. You know, my business, if you don't reinvent, you're over.
Yeah.
And also, I am so lucky. I always said if I can make a living, just make a living, pay my car payment by being in the business, writing and performing, I'm lucky. And that's to this day, that's what I always think. So maybe I would just have ended up a woman writer, you know, but a performer, they would never have let me hang around this long unless things have been done.
Joan, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I just had the best time with you. I hope I didn't shock too many people.
Well, it's too late for that.
Too late now.
But you know what? They'll be talking about it for weeks.
I hope so. I hope so.
Joan Rivers, her new book is Men Are Stupid, with a subtitle you can only find on her website at br.org. Who am I kidding? Any bookstore in America. Thanks so much for being with us.
A pleasure, a pleasure, a pleasure.
And you can hear our unedited, no-holds-barred, no-bleeps conversation with Joan Rivers on our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Tomorrow night, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association hands out Golden Globes for the best TV shows, movies, and actors. Then, the handicapping for the Oscars really begins. The Golden Globes are considered the best predictor for who will win an Academy Award, but there could also still be some surprises next month. Our film critic, Destin Thompson, joins us in our studios. Destin, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
What do you look to happen at the awards?
I tell you what I enjoy at the Globes is the speeches, because somehow they seem to be a lot giddier than the ones at the Oscars. The Oscars, everyone has to be a bit more on their P's and Q's.
Is that because they consider it warm-up as opposed to the Oscars?
Yeah, they're considered warm-up, and it's much more of a love-in, because all of the critics who vote, they sort of wine and dine the people that are nominated. So it's a much more strange and incestuous kind of gathering, in a good way. Fun.
I gather from reading the reviews, I don't know how anybody's going to knock off Slumdog Millionaire.
I tell you, I really feel there's a groundswell.
Which is a film set in India made by a Scottish director.
Yeah, well, how else would we have it?
And that's the story of America.
It's a very good film, and it's a very globally good film, and it's the one to beat.
In Alexander Dumas' book, The Three Musketeers, two of the musketeers are called Athos and Porthos. What was the name of the third musketeer?
It's the Foreign Press Association that votes for it, right?
Yeah.
Does it mean people like you, God forbid?
No, worse than me.
Oh, well, okay, please.
No, no, there's people...
What kind of lowlifes,
yeah. There are foreign critics from all over the world, so you might get a Hungarian critic who covers Hollywood living in L.A. who suddenly decides that Slumdog Millionaire is the best picture of the year, and he actually will indirectly influence Hollywood. They're members of this sort of strange boardroom.
In the Golden Globes, nominated films and actors get funneled into some categories that I think... it's safe to say, are peculiar to the Golden Globes.
Correct.
I mean, for many critics, WALL-E was a surpassingly good film that happened to be done as an animation.
And so therefore transcendent. Yeah. And now it's nominated only as the best animated feature film for the Globes. It's a good question. It's good and it's bad, isn't it? Because if you get all these people who are nominated for a comic role, let's say, or a good animation film, it brings more attention to them. But does it put them in a category elsewhere when they should have been considered best picture? I think that we as humans think that comedy, musicals, and animation is not as important and prestigious as straight drama. And why is that? It shouldn't really be that way.
What actors do you think are going to walk away with Golden Globes?
I think that they're going to give Sean Penn the award for Milk.
First order of business to come out of this office is the citywide gay rights ordinance, just like the one that Anita shot down in Dade County. What do you think, Lotus Blossom?
Unfortunately, for a very good film, that's the only nomination that is in the Globes for Best Actor. It should have been for Best Picture. So I think on that strength alone, they'd give it to him. It's also that and Mickey Rourke's performance as the wrestler. Those are the two ones to beat.
But doesn't Hollywood find it irresistible to take someone who was considered to be washed up and forgotten about, if I may put it that way, Mickey Rourke? But because after all, a lot of people in Hollywood think that could be them someday.
And also, the redemption story is about the hottest ticket in town in terms of plot lines.
Yeah.
So, and he deserves it. It's a really great performance.
I'm the one who was supposed to make everything okay for everybody. But it just didn't work out like that. And I left.
And it really is a story of someone who was washed up professionally and coming back, just like the way John Travolta came back with Pulp Fiction. People love comebacks. Who doesn't? You know, we all hope to get one of those at the end of our lives if nothing else works out.
Our film critic, Destin Thompson, thanks so much for being with us.
And thank you.